every day. Lord, we pray that you will be with him today as you put your words into his mouth to minister to us this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So, who was here last week? Most everyone? Okay, so you met my friend Matthew, and if you didn't know Carl already, you met Carl. Most of you have known Carl a lot longer than I have. And the gentleman spoke about evangelism shift a little bit.
We heard about evangelism shift through Carl at a joint elders meeting of the Association of Christian
Brethren Assemblies here in WA. And we were interested. So we contacted Woodvale Baptist Church because they had done evangelism shift here in WA, and we wanted to find out what their experience was like. And that's how we met Matthew Munn. And Matthew and the others from Woodvale were very enthusiastic about how good evangelism shift was for the life of their church. And we are considering running evangelism shift here and having those seminars here some point in the near future. So, as part of our deliberations, the elders have been sending me over to Melbourne to participate in evangelism shift seminars at Mitcham Baptist Church over there. And I think I've mentioned that to you before, that I've been taking those trips, and I think I gave an update on one of them. I've been to two now, and I'll tell you a little bit more about those in a moment. But personally, I'm very excited about the idea of running evangelism shift here. And the seminars have been excellent. The content is great. The speakers are great. And the participants are enthusiastic about becoming more effective witnesses for Jesus. It's been a great experience so far, and I'd love to share that with you here, that kind of enthusiasm and growth. So let me tell you a little bit about those seminars so you know what it's like if we do end up getting into it. What are we talking about here? So I've been to two of them now. I'm going to the third one next month. In the first seminar, we started off by looking at, there are dozens of places in the New Testament that talk about believers being sent, described as sent by Jesus into the world. What does it mean to be sent? And are we actually living like it? And after we looked at that, we then talked about how evangelism is a bit of a scary word, and part of the reason for that is we think of evangelism as an event rather than a process. We think of evangelism as the moment that I go up to a stranger and try to tell them the gospel. And part of the reason we think about it that way is because you could get away with that a few decades ago in Western cultures like ours, because our culture had already done 90% of the work for you. Evangelism is actually a process, usually, and not an event. And the statistics bear that out. The overwhelming number of people that go from some other worldview to Christianity do so in a process, not in a moment. We're not all on the Damascus Road. As I said, our culture did most of the work for us. We lived in a culture where everyone inherited a belief in a God. And roughly speaking, the Christian God. Everyone inherited that belief, and so it was much easier to go up to a stranger and actually get them to make the decision to believe something they'd been taught through our culture all their life long. That is not our culture now, and if we try to evangelize the way we did in the 80s, it's not going to get us far. Does that sound fair? Because evangelism is a process. We now need to pick up the slack of what our culture isn't doing and take people on a journey, a process toward faith in Jesus. Now, that means two things. One, it means that there's a lot more work for us to do, which sounds intimidating. But on the other hand, it should take the pressure off. You are not a salesperson. You're not going out there to close the deal. The person is here, faith in Jesus is there. You just want to move them a step or two, or maybe a half step closer. You want to make the most of every opportunity, as Paul said in Colossians chapter 4. The pressure's off. You don't get notches in your belt. It's not what it's about. just help the person move a step closer to faith in Jesus. Be part of that process. Is that liberating to think of it that way? I find it very liberating. In fact, I was invited by one of our sister churches, Duncraig, to speak at their church camp about evangelism. And the first thing I told them was, I don't see myself as a particularly gifted evangelist. Why then am I speaking about it to you? Because most of you aren't either. We're not all professional evangelists. The last person I want training me to evangelize is someone who it comes naturally to them and they spend all their life evangelizing. They have those gifts. They do. I want to know what's going to work for me as just an average guy trying to represent Jesus well in my daily life. And that's what this looking at evangelism as a process helps us do. And I'm going to illustrate that in a moment with my own conversion story. Whatever your gifts are, wherever God has placed you, wherever it is that you are sent by Jesus into this world, there is a part you can play to help someone on the process from where they're at to faith in Jesus. Does that make sense? You don't have to be a professional salesperson. You just have to be someone who represents Jesus well. So finally, in that first seminar, we talked a bit about how we can do that, particularly with unchurched acquaintances in our lives. And I think this is the bit that I shared in the church a couple months ago. It's a really scary thing to think about going to a stranger and sharing the gospel with them just cold. And it's probably not going to work either. But if it's an acquaintance, that's a little bit less scary, but that's still kind of scary. You've got someone that's never been to church that you work with or something like that, just walking up and talking about the gospel. That's a little bit frightening. But what if instead of talking about the gospel, what if all I'm trying to do for the moment is have a spiritual conversation of some kind? That's a little bit easier to imagine, doing that. But what if I'm not even looking for a spiritual conversation yet? I'm just looking for any kind of personal conversation, something deeper than the usual small talk with an acquaintance of mine. That sounds more manageable, doesn't it? And what if this isn't an acquaintance, but what if this is actually a friend? This is someone that I've come to build a relationship and spend time with. That's someone that's a lot easier to talk to about personal things. And I tell him how my marriage is going. He tells me how work is going. Does that make sense? We get a little deeper than what our new fence looks like or whatever small talk is about. I'm not a small talk person, so... So what you see there is a process in your relationships. If you can build your acquaintances into friendships and start talking about more meaningful things with those people, someone that's a good friend of yours, then it's easier to have a spiritual conversation. Hey, what do you think about God? What do you think happens when we die? And actually listen to what they have to say and develop a conversational aspect to your friendship with that person. And then from that platform, you're going to have opportunities to share the gospel that are going to be natural. They're going to be an outgrowth of that relationship with that person. That, I think, is the kind of process that we need to think about using in our mission field, which is not the same as the mission field that we had here 30 or 40 years ago. Now, the second seminar, we talked a bit more about how conversion is usually a journey or a process for people rather than a single one-off event. I mean, those do happen, don't get me wrong. You can still have some miraculous encounter with somebody where you move them from zero to faith in Christ in a moment, but it's not the normal way these things work, especially for those of us that are not professional evangelists. But after that, we then talked about how important prayer is, and I understand that's what Carl talked about when he was here. Before, how important prayer is for the whole process of evangelism. One of the things that I found very interesting as we looked at the actual text from the New Testament, and I'm roughly familiar with the New Testament already, but I occasionally learned something that I didn't know already, and this I found pretty eye-opening, is that when Paul in particular, not just Paul, other parts of the New Testament as well, but when there's prayer related to evangelism, it's often prayer for the evangelizer. Probably even more often than prayer for the evangelized. Paul, for example, asked that people would pray for him, that he would be bold, that he would be clear in his speech, And he asks that very, very frequently, probably even more than he asks, pray for these people that will be hearing the gospel. Do you see what that kind of example means for us? It's not that it's wrong to pray for your friends to come to Christ, of course not. But we ought also to be praying for ourselves and for each other, that we would be bold and speak clearly and find opportunities to share the gospel with people. Does that make sense? Pray for us that we would do our job well. We finished off that second seminar by talking about something that I think is extremely good. I've talked about it here in this church before, and that is using questions and listening to people in our conversations with non-Christians. Don't be so quick to get to the sale, to get them to sign on the dotted line, but actually take your time and hear them out and listen to them and establish that type of relationship where they'll be more likely to listen to you because you showed an interest in them. So ask questions in our conversations with non-Christians. And the line that stuck out to me from the seminar was, people react to statements, but they interact with questions. So I found all of that content extremely helpful. As I said, I've been very excited about this evangelism shift. And throughout both of these seminars, what we've had is some very clear and simple application for how we can work these principles into our lives. Just really simple, easy things that anybody can do. Stuff like, go and have a meal with an unchurched acquaintance of yours. Just have a meal together. That progresses your relationship. Something simple like, think of one person and try to have a personal conversation with them. And that would be like our homework assignment from the seminar. It's stuff that anybody can do. And I found that really helpful. What I really like about evangelism shift, in fact, is how easy it is to integrate this, its teaching, into your life. It's low pressure. It's just a matter of making representing Jesus part of our lifestyle, something that we do, being conscious of the fact that we are sent in every circumstance with everyone we meet. We're sent there to represent Jesus well. And I'd love to see our church family go through that together and see the same kind of growth and enthusiasm here that I've seen over there. But as I said before, I want to finish today by talking just briefly about my own conversion to Christianity. Not the whole story, but I just want to show you something about how it was a process and something about how different people took different parts in that process. And there was no snazzy professional with some slick method who closed the deal with me. When I was 5 years old, we moved into a new neighborhood in Cincinnati, and I didn't find this out until a year or two after I actually became a Christian in my 20s. But from the time we moved into that neighborhood, basically through our whole lives, there was a little old couple down the street that prayed for my brothers and myself for nearly 20 years before I became a Christian. The Mitchells was their names. I didn't really know them. I used to see them out on their porch sometimes when we were riding our bike around and things like that. But I didn't really know them at all. But they prayed for us from the time we moved into that neighborhood, and I didn't become a Christian until nearly 20 years later. That was the part that they played. There were other folks. When I went to university, my roommate was a Christian, and we had a number of Christian friends, some of them that lived on the same floor of the dormitory that we lived on. And these guys were nice guys. And I was an atheist, and I was a pretty hostile atheist at this stage in my life. But they were nice guys, and I liked them, and I enjoyed hanging out with them. And we used to go out and go bowling and do whatever else and just spend time together, and they were friends. And that became very meaningful because when those guys asked me to join them in their Bible study, I went. Now, we have lots of small groups and Bible studies and things like that. For us, these guys were conscious of using that time for the sake of the kingdom of God and inviting a non-believer along to learn more about God. And I went. I was a hostile atheist, and I went. And I didn't go and argue and berate them. I just went and listened. And I think we might have those kind of opportunities as well. That was a part that those guys played. I didn't become a Christian until much later. They didn't get to see the fruit of that, but they played an integral part in it. They just moved me one step closer in the process. And then one of my high school friends, his dad was a really big influence in my conversion. Mr. Coletta, so a good Italian name. Mr. Coletta, he was, I think, absolutely the kindest and gentlest man that I've ever known in my life. And he was just so warm and kind all the time. And not in a gratuitous way, not in an off-putting way, but just a very genuine way. You remember Mr. Coletta, he was amazing. And it would be simple things, like when we rat bags were over there hanging out, before he went to bed, he would come out and he would pray for each one of us. And, you know, we weren't, most of us Christians either. We were just kids hanging out. But that was meaningful to me, that he cared about us. He didn't care if we thought it was silly. He didn't care if he was embarrassed. He just did it. He came out and prayed for us. And we all respected him. We knew not to sit too close to our girlfriend on the couch if we were hanging out at the Coletta house and things like that. We might not have respected any other adult, but we respected Mr. Coletta. It was just a part that he played in our lives. And, of course, I've mentioned before how important Deb was in my conversion as well. And, again, that just had a lot to do with her character and who she was as she represented Jesus in life. And sooner or later, you have to hear the gospel and know the truth of it. It's not good enough to say, well, believing in Christianity makes me feel good. Paul says that if Christ is not actually raised from the dead, then your faith is useless. A kind of faith that just, it helps me get through the day, kind of like the horoscope helps you get through the day. That's not good enough. We need to know the gospel and know that it's true. And there's got to be someone in the process that plays that part. And for me, it was not really a face-to-face thing. It was stuff that I read. But other people might meet a Christian that's equipped to help them see that Christianity is true, and that will be part of the process. But can you see how so many different kinds of people played a part in just at different parts of my life, moving me from just one step closer to Jesus until finally it happened? And who gets to claim the credit? Who gets the notch on the belt? Who gets to say they're the evangelist? Nobody. It's all the work of God throughout it all. And God can do the same with everyone here. We can all be the next step for someone in their journey towards faith in Christ. So I hope that makes sense. What I love about Evangelism Shift is that it helps us, it takes the pressure off, and it helps us see how we, just who we are already, are sent to represent Jesus and how we can play a part in moving someone closer to faith in the Lord.